You're listening to an IOE podcast,
powered by UCL Minds.
This is Research for the Real World. Conversations with researchers about the paths they've taken to shape our everyday lives.
Hey there, I'm Jason, and I'm the executive producer of the IOE podcast.
And I'm Amy, the series producer of the IOE's Research for the Real World podcast.
When it comes to previews for upcoming episodes, usually you'd hear from our presenters, but on this occasion we thought we'd change things up a bit, because why not?
Whilst researching possible themes for programming the podcast, our production team discussed concerns about the current cost of living crisis and food insecurity. It's a problem here in the UK that we can't push aside any longer.
At Spring Community Hub, a charity in Peckham that supports low-income families, their CEO told us about mothers under pressure risking a criminal record to steal food for their families.
We did have a mother say, she actually confessed that she did go to a store. She stole food and school uniform and they caught her. She was screaming, no, I won't give it to you because my kids haven't got any school uniform and the food that she'd taken. But they recognised that she was really desperate. They let her go.
A really interesting letter in the Sunday Times this morning from Marcus Rashford and the heads of quite a few of the big supermarket chains. And it's talking about the national food strategy and free school meals for relatively poor off children. And they say this has to be extended, and it has to be extended into the holiday period. Otherwise, failure to do so, they say, will both deepen and extend the scarring caused by the pandemic on our youngest citizens. That's a very straightforward, relatively inexpensive, about 1% of the education budget thing that you could do, and you could say you're going to do now.
So we put in place some measures to help families during coronavirus. That was the right thing to do, and in common with the other things that have now come to an end, whether it was furlough or other things, that's right that we've transitioned to a more normal way of doing things. But we have actually already acted, is what I'd say to Marcus and everyone else. We've put in place something called the Holiday Activities Programme, which provides not just meals, but also activities for children during holiday periods for those families that need extra help. That is a new programme. It was announced earlier this year. It's being rolled out across the country. And I think that can make an enormous difference.
It's really important, firstly, to understand the difference today's rollout will make in relation to the children going to primary schools and their families as well. I'm somebody that thinks it's really important for the government to do much more. My concern in relation to means-tested free school meals is the financial threshold is really low. You've got to earn less than £7,400 after tax to be eligible. In Northern Ireland, it's £14,000. So there are children in secondary schools today, this week, who are living in poverty but aren't eligible for means-tested free school meals. So what I say to the government is we can't afford to provide free school meals to children in secondary schools. At the very least, change the financial threshold so more children who are currently living in poverty can be eligible for means-tested free school meals. The ideal situation would be for every child who goes to school to receive a free school meal.
According to the Joseph Rowntree Foundation, about 3.8 million people in the UK were destitute at one point in 2022, and that included about 1 million children. Half of destitute households tried to get by on less than £85 a week, and that's after housing costs, with a quarter reporting no income at all.
Destitution means that a person or family are unable to meet basic physical needs to stay warm, dry, clean, or fed. Knowing that this affects at least 1 million children, what could that look like?
Well, imagine waking up hungry and having to rely on school meals, or not being able to afford new uniforms. Your carer or guardian may have to go to food banks, or may have to skip having a shower. There are the stresses from bills piling up and not being able to participate in school activities. These things can have such an impact on education and well-being.
So on this season of Research for the Real World, we'll be highlighting issues surrounding the cost of living crisis and food insecurity and the effects it has on children and young people's lives.
We'll hear about how IOE Research is raising awareness and informing policies in the midst of a new academic year, another challenging winter, and a general election in 2024.
Dr. Jake Anders will be sharing insights from a longitudinal study that links food poverty and hunger with academic attainment.
Pupils in families who reported using food banks during the pandemic received lower GCSE grades, so works out on kind of average almost half a grade per subject in those GCSE grades. Even when we try and compare those who have similar grades beforehand, so similar profiles of prior attainment, so it's not just, you know, these are different groups of people, but when we try and compare people who were on similar academic trajectories beforehand, if we compare those who had to use a food bank during the pandemic with those who didn't, there was that difference in those GCSE grades.
Professor Alice Bradbury will discuss educational responses to the cost of living crisis, and in particular how schools are doubling up as food banks for their local communities.
A member of staff has to organise the deliveries, find the food, move the food into whatever kind of location. You need a room which parents can access safely. You need fridge, you need shelving. You know, there's a huge amount of kind of resource that has to go into this. And in some cases, of course, you have to also pay for the food and pay for the delivery. So there is a huge kind of financial and time input from the schools. And in some cases, as well as the food bank, we found head teachers who were spending, you know, huge amounts of time on kind of welfare related work.
Professor Gary McCulloch rounds off this season, giving us a history of school dinner provision and nutritional standards. In fact, did you know that he was on the BBC's Inside the Factory, serving up a 1940s-style school meal to modern students?
It wasn't until towards the end of World War II that free school meals for some children were made mandatory.
The Second World War really started off a new set of thinking about society, and it was part of the new education that children should have the right to have school meals.
The 1944 Education Act promised not just free secondary education for all pupils, but also free school meals with the National School Meals Policy.
Oh, you've finished the carrots, thank goodness.
I have.
Much like today, meals were free for those in need, whilst other families paid a subsidised fee.
And how much did these school dinners cost?
Well, it'd be less than a shilling in old money for a school meal.
That's sort of roughly the price of a loaf of bread. So that's cheap.
It's pretty cheap, isn't it? Yes.
So, get ready for season 21 of Research for the Real World. You can search IOE Podcast and subscribe on your preferred podcast app to make sure that you get the latest episodes as soon as they're available.
Thanks so much for downloading and listening to this IOE podcast.